Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Beautiful and favorite quote of mine from Dylan Thomas. The immutable mutineers are immune to being concerned with risk or ramifications. Immutable mutineers are attracted to and thrive in periods of uncertainty, holding fast to their own time-earned beliefs and ways of life. Immutable mutineers are programmed to be relics, icons, rebel rousers, and educators in their own right. An audible manifesto for the relentless seeker. The Immutable Mutineers podcast is something that I hold dear to my heart. Over the course of this show, I will be interacting with individuals, both new to me and old, that I find are just doing their shit in their lane and going against the grain of what society dictates is necessary. They're making changes, they're building communities, they're creating medicines, devices, products, entities, corporations, organizations. And I hope that they inspire all those who listen to go out and make change within their own sphere of this big old universe and just leave the world better than you found it. Thank you so much for tuning in, and prepare yourself for our journey into mutiny. Hello, everybody out there. My name is Sarah, and you are tuning into the very first episode of Immutable Mutineers. We are an audible manifesto for the relentless seeker. Our first guest is a very dear friend of mine. Her name is Melissa Lum, and she is a multi-passionate entrepreneur, freelance digital marketing strategist, and an amazing photographer based out of Philadelphia. She works with creative entrepreneurs and bold brands to create, develop, and execute strategies that increase her clients' sales, gain them more exposure, and inspire movements. Outside of that, Melissa is the founder of Femme and Fortune and Fearless Con, two activities that stemmed from an all-female co-working space that she also founded that has since closed, called The Hive. Melissa and I, again, are dear friends, and in this first episode, I walk Melissa through the history of her life as an entrepreneur. We talk in depth about the struggles she's encountered, the skill sets that she has taught herself in order to grow this empire, how she brings people together to create change, and any other topic that really revolves around female entrepreneurship, being boss bitches, etc. And weed. Every Immutable Mutineers podcast will have some interaction with cannabis at some point. So hope it doesn't offend you. And hope you enjoy every word with Melissa Alum on our first episode of Immutable Mutineers. Thanks. For a while, to get a feel. For what's happening. Okay, so basically, we're going to start with how your entrepreneurial journey began. We can talk about Eat a Pita, since then we can both talk about it. And then as an intro to, like, that basically being one of your earliest projects, which I think is a pretty decent place to start. So it was only 4 years ago. Five? Five?
Are you recording it?
Oh, yeah, we're recording. But this isn't going to be part of it. I'm just thinking out loud right now. And then I think you should talk about how and what your degree was in school and then what you've learned since then with, like, the boom of technology. You've had to learn a ton of shit. Everything is changing every day. And then talk about how important it is to stick with, you know, like, educating yourself with, like, aligning your job with your purpose.
and knowing that you're always going to need to continually grow towards, like, getting to the pinnacle of your career. And then some of the things that you like to learn, some of your favorite places to go learn, and then you can talk about the conference and how...
Can we talk about weed on this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You want to smoke more?
Yeah. I think we should, yeah, fuck it.
So, in this episode of Immutable Mutineers, we are meeting with my dear Bengali Baroness, Melissa Alam. She is a media maven, the CEO and grand poobah of Feminine Fortune, a digital magazine for women who work and get shit done and also live a life and have questions and concerns. And she's a really bomb-ass website maker. She creates beautiful and strategic brands for a lot of businesses in the Philadelphia area and beyond. And Melissa runs a really interesting conference called FemCon. Oh my God, I'm so high. Fearless Con. That she will be offering again in May. A really great place for her to bring together all the interesting people that inspire her and are changing the world one woman or company or product at a time. So without further ado, everyone, Melissa.
Yay!
Hello.
Hello.
Shalom.
Hello.
How are Hola. You?
Good.
Thank you for joining us on this second episode of Immutable Mutineers. I thought it really important to bring you on the podcast nice and early because both of our entrepreneurial careers kind of collided at a very early state in both of our careers. I own a public relations firm, and Melissa was starting out separating from the 9-to-5 by working on websites, and we had shared a client, this little sandwich shop located down in Midtown Village in Philadelphia, and that's kind of where Melissa started to get a foot in the entrepreneurial game.
And that's right. And that's when we met, our worlds collided. And we
met, yes.
That's beautiful.
Faithful day.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, pretty fun client. I was charging a lot less. I still remember how much I charged that client. But I'm glad it brought us together, Zach.
It was a good day, good time. That website was also,
I mean, it was...
Early.
Yeah.
Early in the game.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons why I found it important to share Melissa's view of entrepreneurialism and basically creating the life you want while giving zero fucks about what anyone else wants, Melissa is an ideaholic, and with that, she churns out really great events, businesses, products, groups, communities, all out of like the sheer passion and imagination that she has and love for creativity and love for creating. So I wanted Melissa to kind of give a rundown on, you know, what she's created over the years and out of what necessity in doing so, and also the skill sets that she's had to cultivate along the way to help mature a lot of these ideas into actual thriving businesses.
Yeah, I mean, where to begin, Sarah? Where to begin? So, like you said, I am addicted to creativity and passion and innovation, and I'm always just trying to hustle and find some cool way to pay rent and make money. I think that's like what excites me. It's like creativity is my drug, and being able to get paid for that is so amazing. And yeah, so I've created so many random businesses. I mean, I used to have a blogging workshop company called Blog Bloom, and
forgot all about that.
Yeah. One of your earlier clients was my
amazing.
Fake company.
That was like the first one. And how much did that first event cost for you to make? I remember you telling me and me being like, what?
Oh, I was charging $450 a person for
you
like
the bills, though.
For a full day workshop. I mean, I only had like 4 customers, but it got us some daily candy, which was
that.
Crazy.
That was funny.
Because that's, I didn't even, that was actually probably my first piece of press, which is huge.
And back then, that was when Daily Candy was swinging tall.
Yeah, that is like.
Yeah. That's where it
Yeah. So, That's I totally forgot about that. So I quit that. And then I was always just making websites for clients. Then I had Feminine Fortune. I'm trying to think of, I had like different creative studios. Like I named my business so many times. It was once like Veritas Creative Studio.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was with my former business partner, Sess. And then we also started Feminine Fortune, Sess and I. So that happened. That was an online, or that is an online magazine, digital platform for women.
How long has Feminine Fortune been around now?
4 years.
4 years,
yeah. We should probably have a party or something. Yeah. All I do are parties at this point, so.
Yeah.
And then the Hive Camp Out, which was a female co-working space, and that was, like, my first in the news, like, real kind of business.
Brick and mortar.
Yeah.
Big
and so
deal situation.
I had to, I remember that time I went to L.A. before it opened, and I got a text from you. You're like, have fun in L.A., but when you come back, shit's going to hit the fan. And I was like, I don't want to come back now.
Oh, when you were at that Yellow conference?
Yeah. I was chilling in L.A., having a good time.
But the ribbon cutting, like, it really set a precedent, I think, for the city paying attention to what wasn't being provided for women in the city in terms of the entrepreneurial life. Philly had a really big boom with the entrepreneurial life. And I think that women were kind of always the afterthought, and you were definitely the first entity to really draw attention to that and then celebrate it and then provide for it. So, yeah, you got...
I mean, it was a good, like, 18 months I had.
NPR. 18 months run.
Yeah, I mean, we got... And it's so crazy that there's so many... I mean, people still email me about the Hive and want to ask me questions on why I closed it and all this stuff. I mean, because so many, like, the Wing, so many other places opened after that are, like... succeeding in a much grander scale. So at least I feel good that I was like beyond, like before the trend. Like
I
was
first.
Yeah, and that's something that I love thinking of, is like, what's something completely different that no one else is doing it, or what's something that people are doing that I can do in a different way. So I find pride in fresh ideas.
The Leo in you.
Yeah.
The brand succeeder. And then talk a little bit about Fearless Con and where that came to life and why.
Yeah, so Fearless Con is my yearly conference, and that came to life because I needed to pay rent for the Hive. And so I was like, you know, initially I wanted to do a whole week of events for women, but that was just like too much to organize, and I had a very small team of like me and some interns and a friend or two. So we hosted a 1-day conference. And yeah, I made like $2,000 off of it to pay rent, but it also built like such a dope community that I'm like, all right, maybe this was a good idea and people needed this if they're actually buying tickets. So I did 3 years, and this is my 4th year, 2018. Now I'm thinking of doing it, 2 times a year because of the demand. So it's kind of interesting. I don't pay attention to it for like 9 months of the year. And then like, there's a super busy time where I'm like, freaking chicken, my head cut off. Yeah, it's like a final exam.
Some of your favorite presenters from past Fearless Cons?
Yeah, our keynote last 2 years ago was Amanda Steinberg of Daily Worth, and she was amazing. She just came in and killed it. She was just giving everyone free financial advice and telling all the women where to invest. Like, it was well worth. I mean, she's got such clout, so it was well worth the ticket price then. But she was awesome. Mickey Agarwal was our first year's keynote.
Yes,
she started it off on a really good note. And then we've had so many cool like workshop hosts and presenters. I mean, at this point, I want to do a page on the website with all of the alumni speakers. Because I think we'd have
Roar
like...
Roar had a really big break with Fearless Con.
Yeah. So
kind of a nice test.
Yeah. So I'd say like we've had 60 plus speakers. I mean,
it's crazy.
So it's growing. So it's kind of like one of those things where I'm like, maybe I have something here, and I just, if I weren't so busy with these other damn ideas, I'd be able to, but that's, I can't just do one idea. I think how I live and thrive is like having multiple ones. Like I could never just choose one.
But Peter pays Paul with almost all of the businesses that you have. So you've at least aligned yourself in a way that your network is supporting each of those levels.
Who the fuck is Peter?
Patricia and...
I've never heard that saying.
Patricia, sorry. And Paulina, make it feminist?
No.
Oh, it might be like an old Christian,
yeah.
Anglo, weird... We'll remove that later. Just
no,
kidding.
Okay.
Okay, so talk about the Hustle House, and really, that's your most recent endeavor.
So, yeah, I guess, to be transparent, like, the profit I made from this past year's conference, I was like, you know what? I need space to grow a team, to grow my office. So I put that profit into a apartment. And so the apartment is called the Hustle House. And it is, unlike most of my other businesses, geared towards like a co-ed demographic. So really just creatives, men and women who are creative and want to make that money. And how I kind of branded the business is we host workshops and events. So the space is like a really cool, it's an apartment, but it's like a long space. So I'm able to put like a table for 12 people. So I've had like a dinner there. I've had like workshops there. I'm thinking about some meditation or yoga because everything breaks down. Like I made it into a workspace that can be moved around. And
perfect Cardi B music video watching with
It's a mini movie theater too, which yeah. I am just like on the couch working and just watching because I have a projector. It's I don't know.
It's amazing.
I'm like in love with my life. It took me a few years, but I'm at a good point right now.
Tell us how those couple years have been for you.
Oh my gosh.
In terms of just like reaching where you are right now.
Struggles. I mean, it's, and I feel like I still have this fear when it comes to growth. That, like, I feel like I could be bigger. I could have a team, employees, but I just have this fear that hasn't allowed me to push beyond that. So I definitely recognize that. But, you know, it's been slow seasons of freelance clients where I've been, like, late on rent and just in a creative rut. There have been seasons with just stress where I have too many clients because I said yes. I mean, it's... and on top of that, I have this commitment to, like, Femme and Fortune and Fearless Con to still produce these, like, events. And, yeah, it's been, but it's been fucking amazing. I mean, I get to wake up when I want. I get to, it's just, like, I love having that control over my life. So, yeah, I wouldn't change it for the world.
What are some of, like, your coping mechanisms that you've come to find that you didn't really expect to be so, like, influential
drugs.
In your growth? Drugs. Of course, this is a Mary-friendly podcast. This is a Mary-sponsored podcast, actually. So, but outside of that, what things have you come to really, like, you learned about them, you heard about them, you found it on, you know, the good old gram, and now you, you know, don't know what you'd do without these processes or these, like, rituals or products, things?
I mean, in terms of, like, growing... what I have been able to grow with my brands, it's, I'm always just soaking in knowledge and asking people straight up, like, okay, well, how, you know, do you do this in your business? Like, what apps do you use for accounting? Or who do you use? Like, I'm always just asking questions.
What
so I think
do you use for your accounting app?
Sore subject, man. Come on. A bucket of receipts and a ballpoint pen.
I know. Same. We're gonna be laughing all the way to the IRS.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Which, but I'm. That's. Yeah. I'm trying to learn. But Pinterest has been awesome. I learned like just different processes and also just trying things
and
out.
That was pre-Canva. I remember when you were teaching yourself graphic design because what was your major?
Marketing.
Marketing.
Yeah.
So you had graphic design class here or there, but I will say since I met you, your graphic design has like exploded. It's like great.
Oh, thank you.
Your levels of talent have really like diversified.
Oh,
so you have more than one look now. But you, I remember you learning a lot of that pre-Canva. And, like, pre-Canva app level, you were going to Pinterest.
Yeah, I mean, I never took any graphic design classes. I mean, so everything has been self-taught just through, I would watch YouTube videos on Photoshop tutorials. And then mostly just, like, countless hours on Pinterest and Instagram, like, owning in on a style and aesthetic. Seeing how other people do it, practicing for my own flyers. I have, like, boards of inspiration for logo designs, branding, packaging, and flyers. So whenever I do have a client job or gig or I have to make a flyer, it's the first source I go to for inspiration. But there's so many resources out there. You can also, You can also buy templates from, like, Creative Market or Theme Forest. I mean, so.
Even Etsy, I've gotten a couple of.
Yeah,
Etsy
too. Like,
media kit templates
yeah.
on Etsy.
So I don't think I'm the best graphic designer, but I do think I'm scrappy and I make do for, like, I'm not the type of person that's good at just one thing.
I think the dimensionalism in your style also translates over to the websites that you make, because they read very much like a physical piece of paper in front of you. So I think that carries over into your graphic design work, which is why I find it so appealing, because most of the time it ends up looking like something you want to hang on the wall and not throw away.
They're so sweet, Sarah.
No, it's real though. Especially all the Fearless Con flyers.
You must be a publicist. I love rebranding and I love trying out new things, and that's why I love having my own brands, because they're my guinea pigs. Yeah. And I'm just so inspired by LA style, like the creatives there. I feel like my soul is there, to be honest. Just like their creative culture is so different and unique, and the style they're putting out. And I'm also inspired by like urban street style of like New York and Toronto, because I think those are great cities for, you know, a certain type of creative community, the hustlers out there. So yeah, I'm looking to find all sorts of inspiration.
What do you think is next for you in terms of projects and things that you have coming up? You have tons of client work, which is always great, but separate from your, you know, kind of streamline of income from clients, what do you have in the pipeline, and what do you really want to kind of jump on next?
Hollywood. TBA. I really want to continue teaching workshops. I'm looking into possibly teaching at a college as like an adjunct professor in terms of social media or design or branding. I would love that. My dad's a teacher, so I think I get that from him.
For sure.
I love teaching.
Put it out into the universe.
Yeah. I mean, I have an application. I'm just waiting. I guess I should probably follow up.
You should do that.
For a local art school here. What else? I would love to do a product line, potentially of stationery. We talked about this. I have this like client intake management planner notepad idea. I have to figure out how to make that. And then I'm excited about, I'm organizing a event on leaders in Philadelphia who are refugees or immigrants. And I want to have like a panel discussion with them. So people in like tech, food, hospitality, who are at the top of their game, but who are also immigrants and refugees, and get their stories of the obstacles. So that's a big event. And that's all based off of a panel from Fearless Con this year called I'm a Daughter of Immigrants. This is my story. And it was such an amazing panel. And I'm like, this needs to be a bigger event. So it's cool like how things are bouncing or growing from one concept or one, you know, events revenue to the other idea. So it's
that
just...
sounds like a WHYY event. You should reach out to them.
Ooh-wee!
Or an NPR. Like, that's perfect for them. Right up their alley.
Yeah.
Feminine Fortune meets NPR.
Head on.
That'd be dope. You didn't hit that.
You care so much.
I do. I think another thing about you that I've always really enjoyed is, like, Melissa's the one that I'm constantly going to ask her about any and all technical questions, because as a 32-year-old, I feel like I'm a dinosaur. Like, I got Facebook for colleges only my junior year of college, so I always ask her, like, endless questions, and her response would usually be,
Google it.
Or, you are not a dinosaur, learn how to do it. So, Melissa is the queen of teaching herself new talents, tricks, shortcuts, programs, businesses. So what are some of the biggest things you've taught yourself that you feel like the most accomplished in having taught yourself?
I think photography is one. Just seeing my skill set from college when I was taking photos, like, everyone hated me because I would go into clubs for these parties and just take horrible photos of people and post them all up on Facebook. So I was like the only person that was, or there's another girl pretty much, like one of the only resources for all of the party photos pretty much. And I'd get people messaging me like, hey, can you take down number 34, 65, 128? Can you please, like, and don't ever fucking take my photo again. Because it's just, like, inappropriate, them grinding and shit. So then I became a little more artsy after college. And I bought myself a camera. And, yeah. And I was just using flash, and it was horrible. And then I've been growing and trying to create a style. But now I'm, like, doing food photography, and it's just like, yeah, I'm digging it. I love the creativity out of it, especially with editing. That's, I smoke and I edit and I am it just, it's like my peace zone. And then also design, like I said, like seeing my old business cards from when I first started to like my style now is just matured completely. Mm-hmm. So I love seeing that. And same with web design, like I can make much better websites now, I think. So, mm-hmm. But it's all just information's out there, but it's stuff that also you don't have to like read a book or, take a course on. It's just, I've been soaking in. When I see a website, I'm like, oh, this navigation's cool. Or like, I just soak in what I see and just teach myself right then and there without someone telling me. So it's just like, I visit a lot of sites and I visit competitor sites and see what's new and like how people are doing it and color schemes. I'm inspired by like magazines or billboards. If there's like a cool font or a cool color scheme, I'll take a photo. So it's just kind of like creating your own world around design and soaking it all in.
So you've done a really great job of taking like your creative output and kind of building communities around it. And I think a lot more people today are interested in creating their own narratives for the world that they want to live in, because let's face it, you can't turn on like the TV these days without literally laughing out loud at what a fucktard our president is. So I think people are definitely putting a lot more effort into being creative and into supporting, you know, the vision that they desire to be like our future. So what would be some bits of advice that you would give to people that are trying to bring together, you know, communities or groups of people that feel very strongly about a certain thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've done a really great job around, you know, subtly raising a voice and a community around female entrepreneurs that just want to be able to talk to each other about the very unique way that we have to operate in business and in life. And without getting into like the Harvey Weinstein side of things, like it is really important to have a like-minded group of individuals when you are talking about, you know, your passion and where you hope for that to meet a place of purpose so that you can both pay your bills and feed your soul. So mm-hmm. you've done that, I think, really beautifully in a short period of time. And you also did it with literally no money. So I think you would be able to give people a really great blueprint of how to go about bringing together people to create change.
For 3 easy payments of $99.99, get my blueprint. yeah, I still see so much where I can grow and be better with what I'm doing, like consistency, for instance. But yeah, I think, what's important is to think outside the box, collaborate with people and brands and ideas, and, be consistent with your events, and then also create a memorable experience, at these events or gatherings. But I think the biggest thing is consistency. I mean, you can go to one great event. If it doesn't happen again, then it's like, what was the point of that, you know? So, yeah, I think there's just engage with people on a human level. That's one of my like regrets or angles or places where I need to improve upon is like at these events, I'm not always talking to people, the women there, because I am a little introverted. So I need to start kind of like talking to these women that are actually showing up for these events that I'm at, or like continue engaging with them. Mm-hmm. So that's something I'll be working on for this year.
Love it. What other things are you working on for 2018?
Getting laid.
Nice.
No, I'm kidding.
Always an objective, for sure.
This is the year I'm like living one of my best lives, I think. Mm-hmm. Just, I'm at a good point where I know my worth and value and what I can provide, and I'm starting to say no to clients, and it's just such a great feeling. I'm starting to pay off my bills and my debt. I'm really trying hard to just have a clean slate. So I am working on some bomb-ass vacations, like ones where I'm not staying in a hostel and I treat myself to like the mud body bath, or like a snorkeling trip, you know, like
Beyonce style.
Yeah, like having experiences within the experience, because I usually just go with the flow, just staying on a budget and walking around. But I want to get pampered this year, you know. I want to treat myself. So
treat yourself.
Yeah, so I'm going to Playa del Carmen in 2 weeks.
Nice.
And I'm excited.
Gonna come back honey colored.
Like a little luxury. Yep.
Amazing. Where have been some of your favorite trips that you've taken that gave you the greatest rewards in terms of life growth?
Well, I went to Panama 2 years ago for a group trip, and that was amazing. It was like 5 days in the forest, in the jungles of Panama, no internet, and I got to know some awesome people, and just that was the first time I did stand-up as well, so I got to see like a different side of my like creative mind, which was amazing. And I did stand up in front of like 200 people, and yeah, that was so cool. And then also this past August I went to Italy, and it was such an amazing country. I am dying to go back. It's a trip I will definitely go back for and spend more time. Food was awesome, the wine was great, just history, everything. Yeah. So and what else? And then also just all my trips to Bangladesh when I was like younger with my parents and stuff, and that's seeing my relatives and the life there, and I think that's kind of stemmed why I vouch and fight for female empowerment so much, is because we aren't empowered, or my cousins and my aunts, they're not very empowered in Bangladesh, so it's something that I've noticed, and I think I've put it in the back of my head on and how to, like, I can change that in my own way. So FemmeFortune.com. Sign up now.
I think that you are very mindful of being a pillar of just information for people who are interested in, you know, learning more outside of their zone of comfort, and, you know, those who are looking to better their life so that they can ultimately better the lives of others. But if you don't mind talking a little bit about Aria, tell us kind of what it's been like to watch a girl boss be born, and literally that little, like, sass has been there from the jump, and mm-hmm. then she's had an aunt like you to, you know, kind of really, like, lead a very direct example as role model for her, and, like, what does she want to be? Like, what did she put up the other day on Instagram that she wants to be?
Honestly, she's like, I tell my friends you're the best blogger in the world. No. I'm like, I'm not a blogger, Aria. No, I'm kidding.
YouTube generation, though.
Yeah. That's what they know. She's smart. So she's my niece, and she is so entrepreneurial. So she's been drawing since a young age, and they had, like, a competition at their school, elementary school, for, like, draw the mascot, and we'll put it on all the shirts, and she won. So she's already, like, branding her school, which is amazing. And now she wants to sell some of her art that she's drawing, and she's just so bright. And my only regret is that I'm not there with her to teach her more, to be there, and, like, because she lives in Chicago, so it's sucky that I only see her, like, twice a year. But hopefully, like, as she's, like, 11 now, hopefully as she gets older, she'll see me more as a resource, and, like, yo, she's gonna start a business and be a CEO for sure, like, one day, so.
Directly,
yeah.
As a result, I would say.
What did she say she want to be?
President.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
That's... Bless her heart.
Yeah.
Of course she will be. Like, why wouldn't she be? I think it's really interesting that in such a close proximity to you, you have the exact, ability to see a generation kind of free from those stereotypes, because, you know, marketing is marketing, but marketing is powerful. And most of little girls Aria's age have been seeing commercials that are empowering little girls, as opposed to when we were younger and every girl commercial was pink and dollies mm-hmm. and, like, all that bullshit. So I think, what have you been able to see with Aria that has led you to kind of, like, feel that you're doing everything kind of that you should be doing to help keep moving, like, women's empowerment forward so that she's got that, like, foundation?
Yeah, I think what's so interesting is that she's got such a young and naive mind. So seeing how she reacts or doesn't react to situations, I think what I've learned is that the younger generation has so much hope, and that we have to continue fighting for them so that they live in a much better world. But I think it's that amount of, like, hope and love and curiosity that they have that's pretty interesting.
I would say that a lot of the female entrepreneurs that are kind of seeking you out as, like, a beacon are filled with basically the same thing. So I kind of enjoy the parallel between the naive that haven't really been encumbered by the system that we're kind of forced to have to navigate around. And then these women that are, in essence, breaking free and starting over to kind of create the life that they want. Those two skill sets are pretty much the same, both in children and in entrepreneurs that are trying to forge a path for themselves. I think that's those characteristics for some of the things that most drew me to you as a friend, because you are very driven and you inspire without really trying hard at all. I think it's just the natural curiosity that you have for learning that really just keeps you moving forward in a way that a lot of people find infectious, and they want to learn how to be that way because they're afraid to be that way. And you have been kind of fearless in this whole process, which is great because that's the name of your conference and half of your branding. But I think if there were one lesson that was really difficult for you to like absorb about yourself and your talents and your worths in terms of work, you know, what was the defining moment that led you to a place to feel like you were doing what you should be doing and now you're just going to have fun with it?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, thanks for all these compliments.
That's true.
I'm on a cloud right now. Multiple meaning. I guess one of the biggest lessons is just to keep working hard, and it's okay if people leave, you know, your life. I think it's been hard to see, like, business partners go, relationships, and friendships, and, like, because they're always so ingrained in you and your business at that time that you have that connection. So having them go and disappear, just kind of like, or leave or end, you always have to pick yourself back up and put your business and career first. So that's a lesson, is just to keep going and keep working hard.
And stay in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
But like all lanes, HOV lane, regular lane, turning lane.
Carpool lane. Bike lane.
Interesting that you say that people will come and go. I think that everyone's had their fair share of, you know, cutting the dead weight. But, you know, it's one of those things where being an entrepreneur, you are typically a team of one. Maybe you're lucky and you have an intern, but you're a team of one. And a lot of us band together, you know, to share in the wins and to, like, cry with the losses and to, like, come together to brainstorm during the crises. And I think that a lot of relationships are very fragile in those instances because there's so many layers of things happening at once, and it's almost like you're raising a child with a village. And I think that you've definitely had your fair share of people kind of being very attracted to the light and, you know, the energy that you bring to the table effortlessly, and in turn of kind of wanting to be near that really just taught you some hard lessons that definitely have gotten you to where you are a lot quicker, but they were hurtful, and they caused you a lot of trust issues. And I think if you're comfortable with it, I'd love to hear more about, you know, what are the deeper lessons that you've kind of picked up in the heavy losses in terms of relationships you've had over the past couple of years of starting your brand.
Yeah, I guess to have your guard up, and then be open to change, I'd say. I mean, it's, I don't think they all necessarily like affected my business, but they affected my performance with my business, like the stress and the, and when it comes down to it, like, fuck that shit. I love my career. I love running my business. It's my baby. It's my boyfriend. It's my lover. Like, it's, I'm addicted to it and I love it. So put that first. And if something is causing you stress, like outside of your business, think about possibly taking a break from it or getting rid of the toxicness of it. So yeah, just trust your gut and, always put your career and business first. Because it's not, I love that Lady Gaga quote, it's not going to wake up one day and tell you it doesn't love you. You're not going to walk in one day and have your business cheating on you, right?
True that, though.
So, yeah.
True that. That's another thing. I guess I do not want to delve really too far into love, but I will say being a badass boss, it is you know, difficult to have to schedule and, you know, jumble all the different things you have going on, you know, just on the business front, but taking into account, you know, being a badass bitch who is very confident in what she wants and where she's going, there seems to be, you know, kind of like a lot of frustration there in being able to find a partner who both supports that and is not intimidated by it and is driven and, you know, wants to, you know, grow with you, you know, and not grow apart from you. So, you know it, I know it. We have all kind of like dealt with that. And I'm sure a lot of other female entrepreneurs, you know, that are single and have gotten to a place where they want to start enjoying their successes with someone else. Like, what are some things that you feel like you've learned over the couple of years that, you know, could maybe help bring them a little bit of peace to like that gross struggle?
Well, I think with every relationship, it's about compromise. So I've definitely seen where I've been working so much that I'm ignoring my partner. So trying to make time in some way where you're still able to, you know, get your work done, but also you're able to, you know, spend some quality time away from your phone or computer with your partner is important. And to just let things go if they don't work. Don't force it. I'm fine with being single. I get so much more work done. And I don't know. I've already had the taste of freedoms for like decades now. 3 decades, right?
3.
So, you know, I think everything happens for a reason and you learn from your lessons and you just keep moving. And you're allowed to have multiple loves of your life and multiple businesses. And, you know, I think that's the beauty of living. You don't want to have the same life for same routine when you're 50 as when you're 30 or 20. So it's good to change and update everything. So just keep it moving.
Love it. Last question. What do you think has been the greatest gift and lesson of being your own boss to date?
I guess the greatest gift has been freedom. And the greatest lesson is to not take it for granted and to keep, if I don't work hard, if I don't maintain my clients, if I don't finish things or give myself due dates and stay accountable and abide by them, and I won't have that freedom. And that's something that I truly cherish, and I love just being able to work from anywhere and being able to wake up when I want to wake up and go to bed when I want to go to bed. And yeah, so
smoke joints to the face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Great. Where can people find you on the line and on the real life and on the social media?
Yeah. Ring the Alarm, ALAM, as in Mary, on social medias, Femme and Fortune, Fearless Conf, CONF, because Fearless, someone took Fearless Con, and just freaking everywhere. I need to take a social media detox. My mind is about to blow up from all the social media and all the clients that I manage, so.
So everyone, follow Melissa on Instagram and stay tuned for more news about Fearless Con in May-ish. And just keep up with everything she's doing. Take a look at all of her clients and all the work she's putting out. And just stay tuned for many exciting things to come from the House of Alam. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Zach.
Being a part of podcast number 2.
Oh, merci, merci.
Let's have a celebratory little bowl here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll turn this off.
Beautiful. Do you have the, did I put the weed back in?
Thank you so much for tuning in and sticking with us on the first episode of Immutable Mutineers. You can find Melissa Alam at www.melissaalam.com. That is her website. If you'd like to follow her on the gram, her name is Ring the Alam. Nice little Beyonce reference there. Same on Twitter. Get with it. Join Melissa. Start conversations. Start projects. Be an ideaholic. Get shit done. Let's make this place better than we found it. Thanks, guys. Tune in for the next episode coming soon.